right place today. This is Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And Dr. Zamperone and I love to have you visit us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And besides joining us on the air for our many radio shows, we'd like you to know that we have a wide variety of books. You can go to naturalnurse.com, look at books, and online and on ground, in person classes and workshops. We just took a group to live with shamanic healers in the island of Jamaica. And that was actually our 28th year of doing that. And we're already taking a list of people who'd like to join us next year, which will be March of next year. So you can always look into that. We also have on-ground classes all over on Long Island and in Florida and all over the country, where we take people out into the field, gather edible and medicinal wild plants, and make them into medicine. So you learn all about herbal medicine and how to make your own medicaments, and also what plants in your yard that you can use for food and medicine. And that's true everywhere all over the world. We also have CE credited courses online, and those give CEU credits for nurses, midwives, massage therapists, acupuncturists, and registered dietitians. So you can take one of those classes. If you are a professional, you can get the credits. If you're an interested person who is not a professional, you can get a certificate for having taken those classes with us. And they're available online for everyone. Just go to naturalnurse.com calendar to see this month's classes and sign up. We have many coming up in May, June, July. Ongoing classes, some are series, some are one time. By the way, if they are given at a time that doesn't work for you, all of them are also available as an archive if you're not able to join in with us live. So thank you so much for listening today. And we have a wonderful guest. That is Brooke Goldner, medical doctor. She graduated with honors from Carnegie Mellon University for her genetic research in leukemia and neurobiology, and she received her MD from Temple University School of Medicine and was chief resident at UCLA Harbor Residency in psychiatry. She also holds a certification in plant-based nutrition from Cornell University. My alma mater is Cornell. Dr. Goldner was diagnosed with systemic lupus nephritis with stage 4 kidney disease as a young girl at 16 years old, and she made a startling recovery, and they say you can't recover from that, but she did at 28 using her own protocol of supermarket foods. She has been symptom-free ever since with normal lab results and no trace of kidney disease. Now she educates physicians and patients on how to heal and achieve vibrant health using the protocol she developed and used herself with supermarket foods. Dr. Goldner's hyper-nourishing healing protocol has helped patients with lupus and a multitude of other illnesses. Today we'll discuss her journey along with her book, Goodbye Lupus, How a Medical Doctor Healed Herself Naturally. It's great to visit her website, which is Vegan Medical Doctor, easy to remember, veganmedicaldoctor.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Brooke.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, good. Now, I was actually introduced to you by the Naval Expo people. That's navalexpo.com. And Naval Expo is actually on ground and online webinars and seminars a couple times a year. So just visit navalexpo.com if you'd like to visit with any of their speakers. Now, Dr. Brooke, let's go back in time. What made you decide to be a medical doctor in the first place?
When I was sick with lupus, so I was diagnosed at 16, and at the time, my kidneys were failing so rapidly. They gave me 6 months to live. Extremely experimental at the time and aggressive, because back then, I'm 40 now, so back then it was mostly steroids. They didn't have Plaquenil and Celcept and all the fancy drugs they use nowadays. So I actually did 2 years of chemotherapy to try to shut down my immune system to save my kidneys. And they weren't sure how much to use or for how long back then, so I was one of the first people to do that. And so when I was undergoing chemotherapy from 16 to 18, what really helped me through that time was focusing on what my life could be about in terms of my purpose, rather than on the pain and suffering that came with all the medicines and the chemotherapy and the disease itself. And my mother is quite incredible that way. It was always about, you know, not whether or not are you going to graduate high school or go to college, but which college are you going to go to and when are you going to get your applications done, and, you know, you have a test on this day but chemo on this day, when are you going to study? So what I really focused on was, well, you know, nobody really knows how much time they have on this planet. And I was given a little information that mine might be shorter than others. So I just wanted my life to mean something, and I thought the best way that I could make an impact in this world is to help others. And my doctors were saving my life, and I wanted to be able to do that for other people.
Well, that is amazing, actually, because it's very challenging to go to college to begin with, let alone when you actually have, you know, a very severe illness.
Absolutely. And, you know, thankfully, even though the chemotherapy was incredibly difficult to survive, after 2 years, I finally went into my first remission from lupus. I actually my last chemo a week before I went to college. And I was able to do pretty well at college. So in remission, you know, you still have the disease. Every blood test is positive for the disease, but it's manageable and you're not currently dying in the moment. You're kind of managing. And so as long as you take really good care of yourself, you know, avoid too much stress, make sure you get enough sleep, avoid the sunlight. I was very sensitive to sunlight. I was able to manage with just maybe some arthritis if I didn't get enough sleep, migraines, things like that. What was really challenging was medical school. You know, when they say to avoid stress and make sure you always sleep, medical school is not the first thing you think of. And actually, by my third year of medical school, I relapsed. And but I didn't get the kidney failure. The lupus actually created a blood clot. And I collapsed in one of the clinics. I was sending blood clots into my brain. And it turned out I thankfully had a mini stroke, or a TIA as I call it, and the clot dissolved that had caused me to collapse. But at that point, I was told that, you know, the situation was much worse. I had to take injectable blood thinners, which I'd need to be on for the rest of my life, and I'd never be able to have children, and my lifespan got cut down dramatically. It was a lot harder being diagnosed with that in medical school when I had a lot more awareness about what was going on. At 16, there was no Google, so I was kind of in the dark and just followed what my doctor said, but it was definitely a lot harder. But, you know, again, after a couple months of, not a couple months, after like 2 weeks of mourning that this had to happen right when I was so close to my dream, I reminded myself that I'm still here. I'm still alive. There's a medicine that's helping me live, and I'm going to be a doctor, and I'm going to do everything I can to help other people for as much time as I have.
That is very challenging. I know a young woman now who's dealing with very severe kidney issues, and she actually had a kidney transplant. So I'm not sure if that was something that was, you know, recommended for you, or your manifestation might have been quite different.
Well, at the time, because my kidneys were failing so rapidly, they said if I didn't do the chemotherapy, I would have either been on dialysis or needed a transplant within 6 months, or I wouldn't have made it. Right now, I have someone who just completed. I have a six-week rapid healing group where I work with people actually online. I'm kind of a doctor of the future. My entire practice is online. And I have a woman who entered with lupus nephritis who is on the transplant list. She only had 14% kidney function when she started. 14%. Her doctor said there's nothing that they can do. Diet's not going to do anything for you. And she's on the transplant list. And in 6 weeks now it's 7 weeks, her kidney function's up to 27% now, just with the diet.
Isn't that amazing? I worked at a clinic with Dr. Serafina Corsello, who is really a top holistic physician. I worked for her as her head nurse for 23 years. And we had, of course, a myriad of patients coming in over those many decades. And one that I'm thinking of now did come in with kidney failure. and following the nutritional program and supplements and lifestyle changes, she was completely healed. And I remember her nephrologist wanting to come in and visit our office, and he did. And he walked around the office with his hands tightly folded in front of his chest, saying, well, I have no idea why she got better, but it might just be because you're also loving here. You loved her back to health in a very disgusted way. And my doctor, you know, who was the head doctor there, said, well, doctor, if that's what did it, fine, we'll take that, you know, even though we knew it was the protocol that we used. But he completely refused to believe in that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always tell my patients and my nutrition clients that if your doctor doesn't think it's going to work, stay with him, because you're going to show him, and he needs his mind opened, and that could save so many other lives. So not everybody's ready to see it. And thankfully, nowadays, I get a lot of referrals from doctors. So the healthcare revolution, as I call it, is happening too slowly for a lot of people out there who are suffering right now, but it's happening. And there are a lot of doctors that are seeing this and waking up to the truth. But unfortunately, it's very difficult because we're not taught anything about this in medical school. And so, you know, when you go to become a doctor, it's extremely difficult. And it takes at least 12 years of your life to try. You know, everyone else is in their 20s going out and partying and having fun. And you're sitting reading 12 hours a day, studying. You know, it's a lot of sacrifice. And you think that when you graduate, you must know everything that's important. And so for me, you know, when I healed, I was an intern. So here I was, I just finished medical school. I'd gone through all of this. I'd almost, you know, I'd had a stroke, you know, trying to become a doctor. And I thought I knew everything I needed to know. And then, you know, in my intern year, all of a sudden I accidentally healed myself of lupus with food. And it turned everything I'd ever learned on its head.
Okay, well, let's go there. I mean, that's amazing, because you shared with us that you were on a particular path and you were sort of on and off again, being in a very dire straits with serious medical conditions, and yet obviously you have a strong spirit and you persevered and pushed yourself. I mean, becoming a doctor, whether or not you're getting a full education in nutrition, is certainly difficult and a major focus for anyone who walks that path. So you stayed on that. And then how did you even begin to understand that there might be another way, since you were not being given that information by your doctors?
Well, the doctor you had just told me about, with his arms folded over his chest, would laugh right now, because I'll say it was falling in love. So I was graduating medical school out in, I was in Pittsburgh at the time, and I met the most amazing person to this date I've ever met in my life, Thomas Tadlock. We fell in love very quickly. And at the time that I met him, I was actually moving to California to start my residency. I only had 2 months left. But within the first month of meeting, we just were so madly in love, and we just knew that we were meant to be together. And he wanted to get married. And so, you know, I hadn't really talked about the lupus yet, because this was a month in, and I'm moving, it's probably not going to be serious, right? And when he brought up marriage, I had to tell him, you know, listen, I'm not going to live a long life. I have a disease where you'll end up taking care of me before I die too young. I can't have your children. You know, I don't know that this is really what you want to do. You're a 28-year-old man, I'm not sure this is really what you want. And he said, you know, I'd rather have a short life with you than a lifetime with anybody else. So if it's going to be short, it's going to be the best damn life you could ever have. And I started crying. I said, okay, let's get married. Let's do this. So he is a celebrity trainer. And at the time, he was working with people who were appearing on MTV. And he could take somebody who, you know, has a beer belly and give them a six-pack within weeks. And the way he would do it is he understood, he's a scientist, he also went to Carnegie Mellon, and he understood metabolism and how to create a fast metabolism so that when you add exercise, fat falls off. So instead of starving people, he would nourish them with tons of vegetables, omega-3 fatty acids, lots of water, and they could, they lost fat more rapidly and gained muscle more rapidly than anybody else. So I said, I want to look like one of those MTV stars for my wedding, because we're going to be in Maui. We basically eloped with just a handful of our closest friends and family. And so I had been vegetarian since I was a kid. And his diet at the time, although it was very high in vegetables and omega-3s and water, also included meat. It was, you know, free range, which, you know, he thought was healthier, and kind of like modern paleo. And so But I'd been vegetarian since I was a kid because I loved animals. And so I was mostly a cheesetarian. So I ate tons of dairy products and eggs every day.
I want to share your book. Yeah. So I just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Dr. Brooke Goldner, medical doctor, and we are looking at her book, which I highly suggest. You can get a copy of it at her website, veganmedicaldoctor.com or Amazon. It's called Goodbye Lupus, How a Medical Doctor Healed Herself Naturally. So I see that you really also have a very funny sense of humor, which I'm sure carried you through these life challenges as well, because I love how you say in your early childhood you were privileged because you had your own personal chef. So I said, oh, right. So she must have grown up very wealthy. And then you go, it was Chef Boyardee.
Right.
That is very funny.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Chef Boyardee, mac and cheese. You know, humor, I think, is one of the ways that I also survived. There were times where, you know, I went at one point after my first year of chemo and they wanted to do another year. I didn't want to do it. I really didn't. And so my doctor sent me to the NIH, the National Institute of Health. And so I sat in front of a board of 10 white coats, and I'm 17 years old, and they're all staring at me trying to decide my future and my fate. And I'm just sitting at the head of the table cracking jokes, you know, because it's just, come on, you know, it's just too surreal sometimes. So, yeah, humor has always helped me. And it helps me with my clients and my patients, too. They, you know, everybody needs to laugh no matter what's going on. And it really does help you survive.
But so it sounds like even though you didn't like eating meat because of a spiritual connection to animals, you ate pretty much only junk food. You shared that your father had a pizza franchise. So we're talking about pizza, diet soda, mac and cheese. This was your diet.
Yeah, and I always loved vegetables. So I would eat salads, too, with ranch. But I ate tons of salads, and I liked fruit. But it couldn't fight back against the other food I had. And by the time I met my husband, I was on the perfect diet to be sick and overweight. It's called hospital food. So if you really want to be sick, you go eat what they serve up at those hospitals. It is horrendous. And you know, when I had my children, which I've been able to do in a healthy way, I don't eat the food they have there. The only thing I'll eat from a hospital is their fruit platter. Get me out of there. But back to my third, so what ended up happening is my husband said, you know, dairy is the most fattening food on the planet. So listen, you give up the dairy products and I will get rid of the meat and we will create a new program for you. And so I accidentally became vegan. I didn't plan to be in any way. And my diet consisted of huge amounts of raw vegetables, like 10 cups of vegetables a day or more, a gallon of water a day, high omega-3 fatty acids. And this was purely for vanity. People asked me how I was so brilliant to find a cure for lupus. I'm like, I wish I was brilliant. I just was vain, like every other woman getting married. And I happened to have a fiance that's an expert in fitness and nutrition and health. So what happened is, you know, in 3.5 months, I went from a size 11 to a size 3, and I looked amazing at the wedding. But I also was an intern at the hospital. I had zero aches and pains. I had tons of energy. I could work 30-hour shifts at the hospital and then go to the gym. People without lupus can't do that, but I could do it. I had so much energy, and I felt amazing. And what happened was I had a brand-new doctor out in California because we'd moved there from Pennsylvania, and I went to get my blood tests done. And he said that there's some kind of a lab error because I have your chart and I've seen your blood test for the last 12 years, but these are negative for lupus and that's not possible. And I went, you're right, it's not possible.
Were they looking at an ANA or, you know, they were reversals in certain things?
Yeah. My ANA was negative. My complement was normal. My anti-dsDNA antibodies were normal. The only thing that even showed any deviation was the antibodies, anti-cardiolipin antibodies that were causing my blood clots. They were high normal. So nothing you would normally even treat except for someone who's had blood clots. So he said, it's got to be some kind of error. Go enjoy your wedding. We're about to fly to Maui. Come back. We'll retest you. I said, okay. Went and had a great time, came back, they retested. Now the anti-cardiolipin antibody is non-existent. And my cholesterol, which they told me was genetically high since I was 20. My doctor told me to blame my parents when I asked them what to do. And my genetically high cholesterol, guess what? Not genetic, was normal. And over the years, my blood tests got better and better. And now this year is 12 years since I changed my diet and I've had zero disease at all. I've been able to have two healthy kids, and usually pregnancy is what brings lupus back if you're in remission.
Right.
I have very healthy
that
pregnancies.
You will not have children, right?
Oh, yeah. They told me I couldn't. They said it was a death wish. But after 4 years of being healthy, normal blood tests, extraordinary health and energy, I decided that I should. And it went great. So, yeah, I have proven it over and over again where every kind of obstacle that they said, oh, lupus is coming back. When I got pregnant the first time, the doctors told me that, you know, this is it. You know, and I've seen a lot of women who got lupus or had a horrible flare after birth. And I was fine.
Well, it does make sense. Yeah. Getting so many chemical messengers that can stimulate an autoimmune response. And that's why.
Absolutely.
You,
yeah, it's very dangerous for people with lupus. But I didn't have it. Yeah. When I had my second baby, they didn't even flinch that time. They're like, yeah, she's fine. And so, yeah, it's been 12 years of being extraordinarily healthy. And we were able to, once I had my first son and never got sick again, and 9 days after birth was back to my pre-pregnancy weight like it never happened, we realized something very unique has happened to my body. And we reverse engineered what we did, which the only thing we did was change my diet. And we realized that at a cellular level, we had created the most anti-inflammatory diet possible. And we started running people through this program, and we found that no matter what someone had, whether it's lupus, Sjogren's, scleroderma, MS, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, whatever they had was reversing and getting better when we put them on this diet. So I've been running people through these programs for years now.
Something you experienced for yourself, but certainly, because I've written 12 books, and one is called Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, and completely referenced, as I'm sure you know, that every single thing you're saying that you did experience personally is documented, deeply documented, in mainstream medical literature in terms of the anti-inflammatory and measurable reversal effects of doing what you did. So I think it should be standard of practice.
Absolutely, it should be. And, you know, the reason it's not, because people ask me this all the time, is that there haven't been large clinical trials. And the reason for that is drug companies pay for clinical trials. You have to have millions of dollars to have a clinical trial happen, and Big Kale is not going to do it, right? The exciting news, though, is that that is happening now. So there is someone right now who is a very wealthy man who reversed his heart disease using a plant-based diet, who got angry that his doctors, his cardiologists at NYU didn't know what he was able to find reading a book from the store. And
right.
They said, well, we don't know it because of the clinical trials aren't there. So he funded a clinical trial of a vegan diet versus the American Heart Association diet at NYU, which is wrapping up right now. We don't have the results yet because it's blinded, but what we do know is that the doctors that were on the treatment arm, all four cardiologists went vegan. So I think we know what the results are. And what he said is he teamed up with me now, and he wants to fund the clinical trials using my nutrition protocol for lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes. He wants to put this on the map where regular doctors who are just reading, you know, the Journal of Rheumatology or the, you know, any of the main medical journals will see it. And so that this can be not only standard of care, but that it would be medical malpractice not to start with diet before you start putting all these dangerous drugs into people's bodies.
Wouldn't that be an evolved step forward in the medical profession? Well, we're going to take a little break right here. And I want to remind you, listeners, that you are listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. And our guest today is Dr. Brooke Goldner, MD, and we're talking about her protocol and her book, Goodbye Lupus, How a Medical Doctor Healed Herself Naturally. Her website is Vegan Medical Doctor, all spelled out, veganmedicaldoctor.com. And she does participate with patients by having online conferences with them. So she's available for anyone, anywhere in the country, or the world for that matter. And we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the essential oil taken from the Australian tea tree.
The tea tree, known as Melaleuca alternifolia, grows in only one region of the world, the northeast corner of Australia. It is a full-sized tree of the myrtle family, whose oil has powerful abilities to clean and help heal wounds and skin ailments such as cuts, burns, and rashes. In 1770, the infamous Captain Cook was a lieutenant in the British Royal Navy when his ship landed in Australia. The botanist on board, Sir Joseph Banks, collected samples of a sticky aromatic leaf and brought them back to England for further investigation.
In 1923, an Australian curator and chemist, Dr. Penfold, conducted a study on tea tree leaves and discovered that their essential oils are 13 times stronger as an antiseptic bactericide than carbolic acid, considered the standard in the early 1900s. The oil contains 50 to 60% terpenes, 6 to 8% cineol, which causes its camphor-like odor, and several kinds of alcohols. In 1933, the Australian Journal of Pharmacy, the American Journal of the National Medical Association, and the British Medical Journal reported that tea tree oil is a powerful disinfectant, non-poisonous, non-irritating, and has been used successfully in a very wide range of septic conditions. Australian tea tree oil is mentioned in the British Pharmaceutical Codex of 1949, the UK Medicine List, and the Dispensary of the United States.
During World War II, tea tree oil was considered a standard issue item for all first aid kits for Army and Navy units in tropical regions. The demand for tea tree oil exceeded the supply. However, after World War II, synthetic drugs gained in popularity and the use of tea tree oil in medicine waned. In more recent times, a renewed interest in natural, non-toxic alternatives has triggered a resurgence in tea tree oil research. In 1985, Dr. Paul Belacher, chief of the phytotherapy department at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Paris, worked on several double-blind studies involving tea tree oil and its application as a remedy for candidiasis, chronic cystitis, staph and strep infections, and nail bed fungus. He stated, and we quote, "The essential oil of Melaleuca has entered the team of major essential oils and emerges as an antiseptic and antifungal weapon of the first order in phytoaromatherapy."
Try a few drops of tea tree oil in a steam vaporizer and inhale for blocked sinuses, or rub the oil on chest and back for a cough. The Australian Journal of Dentistry reported that using tea tree oil in dental hygiene and in surgery showed it to be an extremely effective antiseptic. Add a drop on your toothbrush or include it as a gargle and mouthwash. Tea tree oil can be applied directly to the skin. Although it's possible that some people may experience a mild allergic reaction, in-depth research has shown tea tree oil to be non-irritating and safe.
So, listeners, think about including tea tree oil, the first aid kit in a bottle, in your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. And you can always find us at Natural Nurse, all one word, naturalnurse.com. Click on calendar to see all of the classes and workshops you can participate in, both in person and online. Look at books to see the many books we have written about holistic therapies that you can use for yourself and your family, or go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and join the conversation. Today, we have as our guest Dr. Brooke Goldner. She is a medical doctor and received her MD from Temple University School of Medicine, was a chief resident at UCLA Harbor Residency in Psychiatry, and also holds a certification in plant-based nutrition from Cornell University. And in fact, I am an alumni of Cornell, Dr. Goldner, and I never heard of that
course. That's a very interesting plant-based nutrition course from Cornell.
Yeah, it's actually from T. Colin Campbell Institute. So T. Colin Campbell, who wrote the China study and who has studied nutrition and its effects on health for, 40 years now. And so it's a very, very popular certification class.
Wow, that is excellent. And, of course, you're the perfect person because you combine it with your medical education as well as your personal story, which is very inspirational. And I know the name of your book is Goodbye Lupus, How a Medical Doctor Healed Herself Naturally, but really the same protocol is going to reverse pretty much all degenerative illnesses, especially that have an autoimmune component.
Absolutely. That's what we've found, is that it doesn't matter what the diagnosis. In fact, it doesn't even matter if you have a diagnosis. If you've got inflammatory illness, you've got joint pain, you've got inflammation markers elevated in your bloodstream, you've got inflammation in your liver or different organs, it doesn't even matter what it's called. We can reverse it using the diet. I have a funny story recently where I got a phone call from a woman who wanted a consultation, and she said, listen, I'm the chief of medicine. I am the chairman of the ER. And I hate doctors and I hate medicine. I said, okay, what can I do for you? She said, I have autoimmune disease. Nobody knows what it is. I have been to the Mayo Clinic. I have been to Johns Hopkins. They want to send me to the NIH Enigma Clinic. I didn't even know there was an Enigma Clinic. It sounds like science fiction. And she said, the problem is I've got so much pain in my legs, I can't walk unless I take steroids. And nobody can figure out why. No one can diagnose me. And she goes, you know what? I don't care what it's called. I don't want to go to the Enigma Clinic. I want to get off steroids. And she said, I read your book. I started putting it into play by myself, you know, looking at Goodbye Lupus. And she goes, in 2 weeks, I've been able to lower my steroids for the first time since I got sick. So she said, you tell me what to do. I said, okay, I'll tell you what to do. And in exchange for healing you, you are now going to go and make sure that all those residents you train and everyone in your department hears about this. She goes, I will do whatever, anything you say. So she goes on the nutrition plan, and this is how quickly it works. I mean, in a matter of weeks, people's pain goes away. They start feeling better. She's now going to the gym, coming off her steroids. Everything's going away, and we never got to know what the label was, but who cares, right? So she said that she's now making it required reading. She gave a copy of my book to all the rheumatologists in the department. And so, you know, that's one of the ways I always say, you know, when people heal, they become health missionaries. So now she's a health missionary. But I think it's really important. Sometimes people wait for years trying to get the perfect label or diagnosis for the illness, and it doesn't matter. You're in pain. You've got inflammatory illness. You can eat this way and start feeling better without anyone ever knowing what it was called.
Right, and you have such a great outline in your book with very specific things. For instance, what do you mean by eliminate processed food?
Processed foods are the things that your grandmother would not have identified as food when she was growing up, right? So processed foods are things that are made in a lab. They have chemicals in them. They're things that never go bad. You could put it on a shelf and it will sit there for years, right? And you could still use it. So they're not natural foods. So I always say to someone, you know, if you can't grow it or understand how you would take something from nature and make it into that thing, it's not a natural food. And what they've seen is when you eat processed foods that have chemicals in them, that there's actually a measurable inflammatory response in your bloodstream. So if you're trying to eliminate inflammation and heal your body, the last thing you need to do is put more stuff into your body that's going to create even more inflammation. And for most Americans, they eat inflammatory foods exclusively, animal products, you know, meat and dairy and processed oils and processed foods. And all they do is eat inflammatory foods. And it's not shocking that at some point, all of that inflammation triggers whatever their genes are for disease. The great news is you can untrigger them and get your health back. You just got to learn the tips and get yourself healthy again by eating the right things to feed yourself.
That was a very important thing that you just mentioned, Dr. Goldner, in that everybody does have a particular genetic makeup, and that will often be places in your body on a physical level due to genetic signaling mechanisms that either give you protection or make you vulnerable, and often in a particular area of your body, that's where you'll see the vulnerability come out, although the input of potential toxins and disruptors might be the same, and then the expression of it might be different depending on your genetic strengths and weaknesses.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Absolutely. So I think people, they often think we're more different than we are the same. And I get some people who doubt how well this can work. And they'll say, you know, no, everybody's different. We all are different. And I go, you know, we all have the same cells. We all have DNA. We all have, you know, chromosomes. We all have proteins and enzymes and all these things. We're much more alike than different. It's just where the errors are, where the vulnerabilities are for disease are different, but we trigger those diseases the same way. So someone else who ate my diet of mac and cheese and Chef Boyardee and pizza, maybe they didn't get lupus at 16, but right now they have cancer or they have heart disease or diabetes. So the same foods are causing the illness.
That's such a big no-no. Oh, my God. You have come a long way, I must say. Now, when you say consume omega-3s every day, how would someone do that on a vegan diet? What would be a good way to go with that?
So the best plant sources of omega-3s are flax seeds and chia seeds. And so those are a source of ALA. And it's a great omega-3 that, you know, has not gotten enough credit. There's been studies that show that it actually can reverse problems in dementia. It's an important omega-3 that gets converted into DHA and EPA, which is the ones that they get the most credit and fame for fighting inflammation and also for brain health. And a lot of times there's doubt about that because they say, well, your body doesn't effectively convert ALA into EPA and DHA. Well, actually, your body does a great job doing that if you're not also eating animal products and oils that actually take the enzyme away and start creating inflammatory immune cells instead. So if you eliminate the inflammatory foods, your body can actually convert that very effectively and give you all the anti-inflammatory benefits without having the saturated fats and toxins that you're going to find in something like fish oil, which is exclusively EPA and DHA.
Right. So certainly fish oil gets the most attention in terms of an omega-3 that's recognized by people. Now, what are some of the first steps that someone could take if they'd like to investigate how a change in diet and lifestyle really can help them feel better?
What I always tell people is that it can be so intimidating to change your diet. I mean, I never set out to be vegan. I actually thought that was really extreme and crazy when I first heard about it back in the day. But alas, here I am. Right? So I always tell people, go out and get some tie-dye and bell-bottoms and just, you know, hug a tree. We're doing this, right? But you don't have to do it all at once. And so it took me a while to change my lifestyle so dramatically, right? And it's okay if it takes you some time, too. The most important thing I've seen over the years is to add what you're missing. So our cells require nutrients to do their jobs. So that's the primary reason we're supposed to eat vitamins, minerals, all kinds of phytonutrients, antioxidants, phytoenzymes. All of those things come from plants. And so what's happened in our country is the reason why people get so sick is they're not only eating the foods that make them sick, that cause inflammation, meat and dairy and processed foods and oils, but they're completely malnourished for the things that their body actually needs for healing and just vital organ function to take place. So I've seen people make dramatic improvements in their health without giving up anything yet, just by adding what they're missing. And I found the easiest way to do it, to add omega-3s, to add the water you need, and to add the best sources of nutrients, which are really from greens, is to make a green smoothie. So I'll tell people, okay, if you're scared to change your diet, keep eating what you're eating. But drink a blender of this green smoothie a day, which is 75% greens, not like, you know, a few leaves of greens and all fruit. No, no. 75% greens, a big handful of flax seeds in there, 25% fruit to make it taste like what you like. You blend that up and start drinking that. And what happens is that they start feeling amazing. They all of a sudden have energy. People didn't know that low energy is not a sign of caffeine deficiency. It's actually a sign of dehydration and malnourishment. So they start drinking these smoothies. They've got energy. Their joint pains start to get better. Their cholesterol starts dropping. And they go, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe how good I feel. And then naturally, they stop craving the other foods because then they have a burger and go, oh, my energy tanked. I feel like crap. And so they start naturally wanting to eat better. And I find it's just a way where it's not aggressive. They don't feel defensive that they're giving things up. It's just, let's add what you're missing so you can start experiencing what food's supposed to feel like.
Well, as someone who is a physician and had a residency in psychiatry, I would say that's a really, really good presentation in terms of talking about adding instead of talking about having to give up as a first step. And by the way, I do want our listeners to know that you have another excellent book besides Goodbye Lupus, Green Smoothie Recipes to Kickstart Your Health and Healing.
Because a lot of people, they get really intimidated by the whole smoothie thing, And they, you know, they tried it and it tasted terrible and they were begging me for recipes. So I even though the way we make it is easy, I just described it, 75% greens, 25% fruit, handful of flax, no problem, right? But people apparently find ways to make that not so good. So I had those recipes out there so people know that they can guaranteed have a good one. And my husband and I also have a free community online that we created to support people transforming their health. It's called Smoothie Shred, and people can go to smoothieshred.com for free, and you join our group, and we give you green smoothie recipes, exercise programs from my husband that you can do at home, and the only requirement for the group is that you add the smoothies and add exercise. You don't have to give anything up, and we've got almost 5,000 people from all over the world who do our challenges with us. We make people do 30 days of a full blender a day, and people are coming off their medicines, not just for pain, but anxiety medicine, allergy medicine. And all they're doing is adding what they were missing. And, of course, a lot of people end up going vegan because they just start feeling so much better. They can't wait to try doing more and more. But even those that don't get dramatic improvements in their health, and they lose massive amounts of weight. There's a smoothie shredder. I'm actually in L.A. right now. I was just on the Home and Family show yesterday on Hallmark. And so I'm out in L.A., and I ran into somebody yesterday who said they joined our smoothie shred group 2 months ago. She could not lose weight no matter what diet she did, and she just added our smoothies, and she's lost 25 pounds since February, and she's so excited.
Well, because what you're talking about is adding in, and then you're not so hungry to fill up on the junk food. So, you know, you're dropping a lot of – now, do you discuss getting rid of wheat and baked goods and bagels and things like that at all?
Well, those kind of fall in the process category for me. It, you know, there's a difference between healing and what you need to do when you're healthy. So when, and I think that's why people like my protocol so much, is that when you're trying to heal, I have you be very strict. I want you to eat the most nourishing foods possible, right? And you can take your time or you can go all out. Like if people do my, you know, group healing program, then that's, it's an all-raw program. We're going all out. You can also take it in steps as you want, as I suggested for folks who are a little nervous about it. But once people are healthy, and, you know, like right now, I'm very, very healthy, and I eat a high raw vegan diet. I have smoothies every day and salads and all those things. And then I like to have, you know, stews and soups and you know, beans, things like that. But I can also eat what I call recreational foods. So I consider bagels and vegan pizza or, you know, all the right now, vegan is very sexy, right? So there's vegan restaurants everywhere where you can have fake meat and all that. That's all processed junk food, right? But I call that recreational. And if you're healthy and you make sure you get the nutrients you need, like having your smoothie and your salads and all those things, you can have a recreational meal and you're not going to get sick. So I'll go out and I'll have, you know, a vegan bacon cheeseburger sometimes, right? My stomach's not happy and my energy hits the tank because it's processed and there's no nutrients in it. But I don't get lupus. I don't get kidney failure. I don't get a stroke. It's just, ugh. It's kind of like how people feel after Thanksgiving. You were looking forward to it and then afterwards it's all regret. It's kind of like that. And then I go back to eating what I always do. And so so you can be more flexible when you're healthy. It's kind of like if you eat a processed food, or even some of my clients go back to eating meat once a month just for fun. It's kind of like getting a paper cut. You know, you eat it. There is some inflammation. There's some damage. But a healthy person can heal a paper cut, no problem. Whereas, you know, you take someone's diabetes, you cut them, they, you know, they could lose a finger. they can't heal a paper cut. So once you're healthy, you can occasionally have what I call recreational foods, and you're not going to hurt your health. You just might, you know, your stomach might not be too happy with you. But when you're trying to heal, yeah, you should avoid foods like that, because the most important thing you can do is be putting foods in your body that's actually going to accelerate the healing rather than taking away from it.
Yeah, as well as making good decisions. So we're going to take one other break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Progressive Radio Network, Ari Nell's network at PRN.FM. And one of the great things about The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z here on Progressive Radio Network, as well as all the shows on PRN, is that you can listen in anytime, day or night. If you're enjoying our show today with Dr. Brooke Goldner, author of Goodbye Lupus, How a Medical Doctor Healed Herself Naturally, you can come back and listen to it again. There's also a link to her website, www.veganmedicaldoctor.com, as well as a way to get in touch with us at naturalnurse.com. So having it archived as a podcast, but also available live on air every Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m., a.m. New York time, is how we get the message out to so many of our listeners. And we're really pleased to see 200,000 downloads of our podcast. So we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Progressive Radio Network, the number one network for those who care about the truth.
Activist Radio on the Progressive Radio Network is a weekly program for all Americans who are not in the wealthiest 1% of the U.S. population. Fred and Eli offer a little history you didn't learn in high school, some news stories you haven't seen on our mainstream media, and a couple of songs to help you join the resistance. Our website, classwars.org, offers a little background on how the few richest of our citizens lie to the rest of us to expand their power and wealth. Class wars is a dirty term in our media, which always implies that America is above such crudeness. But the very rich are not above that at all. They are sick with greed, of course, but so far the rest of us are what might be worse. We haven't organized yet to fight back. So gear up for some class wars every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. That's www.prn.fm.
Hi, everybody. I am Karen Hartglass, the host of It's All About Food. Join me every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, or catch all of my shows in the archives. You can find my archive programs at the Progressive Radio Network website, or you can call my personal archive phone number to hear the most recent 5 episodes of It's All About Food. Here's the number, 1-701-719-0885. Here it is again, 1-701-719-0885. Learn about how we can solve many of the world's problems today and do it deliciously here on It's All About Food.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Once again, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, we are here today with our guest, author of several books, including Goodbye Lupus, How a Medical Doctor Healed Herself Naturally, and that is Dr. Brooke Goldner, MD, and is giving us some great tips about getting started and how she sounds like almost stumbled through God's grace into healing herself of very severe autoimmune conditions, and thankfully so, because now not only does she share her information with thousands of people all over the country, she also is going to be involved in a clinical study so that this kind of information can be used by more medical doctors. Truthfully, Dr. Goldner, I feel like the evidence is already there. It doesn't take much to do a PubMed search, for instance, on foods and the inflammatory response, or what's commonly called leaky gut syndrome, but what's medically called intestinal permeability. I mean, the mainstream medical literature is absolutely filled with the information that you're sharing.
I think the key thing that you just said is it's searchable. But as doctors, we're not really taught to search it in that way. What I was told as a medical student, and you'll probably cringe, when I was a medical student in the hospital, they told me the only thing you need to do to stay on top of the most important information is read the New England Journal of Medicine. And if you don't have time to open it, just read the cover. They summarize everything that's important in medicine right now. And that doesn't actually usually include very much in terms of nutrition research. So
no, but it is including a lot more than it did just a few years ago. So even that is
true.
A great step forward. Now, of course, there is a group who stands to really lose if everyone starts to eat the way you're proposing, because the ones who will lose is the pharmaceutical company.
Yes, it's true. And it's a tough thing to go up against. You know, I like to believe in the good in people and that we all want to be out there to help, but it is a tough thing to do. I mean, I've given a talk before where it was to inspire people with lupus who are trying to learn how to get healthy. It was a health and wellness event for people with lupus, and it was funded by a pharmaceutical company. And I was told at the time that you're not allowed to use the word heal or cure, or, you know, they were trying to handcuff me, so I couldn't say that this was in any way a cure. And
isn't that
it was
amazing?
Very
That's
was many
an
years
illegal
ago.
Word in medicine.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if it hasn't been reversed by a medicine, then it's not a cure. And that's one of the things that I feel so awful for folks who only have that information. You know, I have a Facebook page, Goodbye Lupus, on Facebook, and it's very, very active. And in spite of all the people who post to my page, literally post videos to my page thanking me that they've gotten rid of their RA, their MS, their lupus, and they're living pain-free, there are people who post underneath that, there is no cure, my doctor would know it if there was one. And I feel so terrible for those folks. And I just try to give them as much love as possible. I don't get into arguments. I just try to say, you know, I understand that in the medical literature, they don't describe a cure, but there's no side effects to kale. Go ahead and try. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Eat vegetables.
That's
everything's
going
to be okay. Eat vegetables. And worst case scenario, you don't feel better, which has never happened, by the way. Best case scenario, you get your life back. But yeah, really the way the medical world works right now is, you know, when people raise money for a cure, what are they raising money for? Lab research to create a new medicine. They're not raising money to help everyone get a Vitamix blender and make smoothies, right? So it's frustrating and it's an uphill battle, but it's one I'm dedicated to fighting. I really feel like it's what I'm on the planet to do. I'm very grateful for all the years that I was so sick and for falling in love with the right person and stumbling, as you put it, across this way to heal myself, because I believe the reason for all of that is that I'm meant to do what I am right now, is to fight for other people's health and let them get back their lives the way I do. I mean, now I get to grow old with this most beautiful man, and I raise these two beautiful boys, and I get to do a job that brings me to tears with happiness every day, and every single person should get to have that opportunity, and that's what I'm fighting for.
What a wonderful description. Now, I know you said that you don't have an office that you have people come into. So why don't you share with us how your practice works and how someone can find you?
So I'm constantly traveling around the country teaching. I've taught at hospitals and conferences, and I teach lay people how to reverse illness. And so my office is my laptop, and it goes with me everywhere. And so I see I'm medically licensed in California and soon to be Texas. So for people who want to see me as a physician, they need to live in those places. But I also do nutrition consultations for people anywhere. So they have their own doctor, and I just run their nutrition program. And I see people from England, Australia, all parts of the United States, just to help them get on nutrition plans to help them reverse their illnesses. And so the way I do it, people have a choice. They can either make a Skype consultation where we sit down together for 60 to 75 minutes. I spend a lot of time with people to make sure I understand them and make sure that they know what they need to do, because the whole point is that they understand it so they can do it and heal, right? Although it's very difficult to get those now. It takes a couple months now to get in to my calendar. But I also have rapid healing programs where people can either do 4 weeks with me one-on-one or 6 weeks in a group setting in a secret Facebook group, where they get on my rapid healing nutrition program that focuses on the nutrients I've already told you about, the high raw veggies, the omega-3s, the water. But they check in with me every day so that I can watch what they're eating and make sure they're doing it right and make sure they get dramatic results. And those are the folks that people hear about that, you know, in 2 weeks, RA's gone, Sjogren's gone, you know, people who've been sick for 20 years are back to hiking in 3 weeks. And so those programs, because they focus on the hypernourishment. So people can start those programs at any time. They can, well, the group is every 6 weeks. We just start a new one starting actually this Saturday, the 4 week one-on-one. They could do it anytime. And they basically have unlimited text access to me. So in the 4 week program, people can text me any time of the day. Can I eat this? What about this? And I answer them and I help them. And they give me their food journal at the end of the day, and I edit it and critique it and help them get even better for the next day. So those programs are my favorite because I can actually hover. I'm a mother. I like to hover and make sure that people are doing it right so that they can maximize the results that they get in a really short amount of time.
But yet it's very personalized.
Absolutely.
Now, do you consider the kind of vegetables they're choosing, let's say organic versus conventional?
Well, you know what's interesting is people don't need to eat organic to heal. I prefer organic vegetables, and now that I can afford them, that's what I eat. But back when I was healing, I was an intern, and I didn't even have enough money for rent. So I bounced quite a few checks back then. They don't really pay interns very well. And so I was getting whatever vegetables I could, you know, whether it was at Walmart or in the grocery store, or I'd go to the farmer's market right when they're about to close and just offer to buy whatever was left on the table. and so when I see people nowadays, I recommend organic, especially, you know, they have the clean 15, dirty dozen, at least to follow those ideas, try to eat organic greens. But what I've seen is that for people who can't afford it, the power of the nutrients in the vegetables is still greater than whatever the risk is from the chemicals, and they still are able to reverse their illnesses. So when it comes to, you know, I can't eat organic, should I just not eat greens? No, eat the greens anyway. And then when you can afford to, then get the organic if you can.
Yeah, and like you said, and that's free from Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, you can get what Dr. Brooke just mentioned in terms of the Dirty Dozen, which is wonderful because it's a guide for choosing those fruits and vegetables that are least sprayed, because some things, you know, they really don't spray that much. Like you mentioned avocados a lot in your recipes, which are great for making smoothies thick and delicious, and they really are not as heavily sprayed as, let's say, strawberries, which might be better to choose organic if you, you know, can make that choice.
So absolutely. Although organic strawberries, you pay $5, you get 6 strawberries. It's always heartbreaking. But yes, I think that was guideline that helped me
always.
A lot,
like,
too.
In my regular grocery store yesterday, a full giant container was $3.99 of organic strawberries. So I just bought a whole bunch of them for my freezer.
Oh,
you know, so there's ways around that. By making
goodness. So, you know what? That would have been gone in 3 seconds with my boys, but that's a great deal. I have to advertise for them.
Oh, you're so wonderful and upbeat. I want to thank you so much for being our guest and for being a professional healthcare provider and having educated yourself so highly and making your information really fun, you know, really fun and upbeat, because you're giving information in a way that is not challenging anyone, saying that they're bad people. I mean, it's just starting from day one with adding in instead of getting rid of, then you can get rid of after you start feeling a little better. So what a wonderful service you offer. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Brooke Goldner.
It's been a complete pleasure. And I want to thank you because you're getting the word out there. You know, for someone like me, it's so amazing every time I get a chance to reach new people. And so you're doing something really incredible for all the people out there who are listening and giving them information that literally can save their lives.
Absolutely. That's a joy. And thank you. Have a wonderful day, a successful journey, and we'll touch base again soon. And thank you,
thank you so much
for tuning in once again to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.